Imagine burning $50,000 on a marketing campaign that just doubles your website traffic overnight.
Which sounds great at first,
All
right?
right, but then it generates like exactly zero new trial signups.
Yeah, that is rough.
It's a nightmare. But in the world of enterprise software, that isn't some rare nightmare scenario. It's actually a daily reality for companies that treat their marketing like, a numbers game instead of a highly targeted conversion engine.
Yeah, they just chase the wrong metrics entirely.
Exactly. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are unpacking a masterclass of a grounding source. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Top SaaS SEO Agencies for 2026.
It's a really comprehensive guide, too.
It really is. And our mission today is to deconstruct this framework to understand exactly why software as a service, or SaaS, requires a radically different approach to search engine visibility.
Because it's just not the same as standard e-commerce or local business SEO.
Right. We're also going to look at how the AI-driven search landscape functions under the hood right now in 2026, and crucially, how to rigorously evaluate the top marketing agencies operating in this space.
And this is a critical conversation because the landscape has shifted so dramatically over the last few years.
Oh, for sure.
Like in a world of absolute information overload, understanding the mechanics behind these specific strategies is just as crucial as knowing the buzzwords.
Yeah, you can't just throw terms around anymore.
Exactly. We aren't just looking at a directory of vendor names today. We are really analyzing the underlying architecture of modern digital growth and revenue generation.
And I want to speak directly to you, the listener, right now. Whether you are, say, a startup founder trying to stretch a lean budget, or maybe a marketing director prepping for a massive Q3 strategy meeting.
Or even just an insanely curious learner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you just want to understand the cutting edge of digital marketing, this deep dive is going to equip you with the tools to avoid vanity metrics. The entire philosophy of this source is an aggressive pivot away from simply getting, like, eyeballs on a website.
Because eyeballs don't pay the bills.
Right. It moves strictly toward generating tangible revenue-producing pipeline.
And to really grasp how to choose an agency in 2026, we first have to establish why a generic, run-of-the-mill SEO agency completely falls apart when handed a software client.
They really do struggle with it.
They do. A generic agency might optimize perfectly for sheer traffic volume, but the architecture of a SaaS conversion requires an entirely different methodology.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the source draws this massive line in the sand between generic SEO and SaaS SEO.
It's a very clear distinction in the text.
Yeah. The traditional model focuses heavily on top-of-funnel blog traffic, right? It's about casting the widest net possible. But SaaS SEO, according to the data, lives or dies on bottom-of-funnel content.
What marketers call BOFU.
Exactly, BOFU. We are talking about highly specific comparison pages, alternative pages, integration directories, and detailed use case content.
All designed to capture high-intent buyers.
Yes. And that distinction is the bedrock of SaaS marketing.
It really is, because a generic agency wants to rank for broad terms like what is project management?
Right, which gets a ton of searches.
Millions. But a SaaS-specific agency wants to rank for Asana alternatives for enterprise teams.
Oh, I see.
Because the person searching that second phrase already knows their problem, they already know the market, and they are actively looking to swipe a credit card.
That makes total sense.
Furthermore, the conversion path itself is fundamentally different. In SaaS, the goal isn't just getting someone to fill out a simple contact us form. You are trying to drive product-led growth, or PLG.
I want to pause on PLG for a second because it's a term that gets thrown around a lot. How does that practically change the SEO strategy?
Good question. Product-led growth means the software itself acts as the primary driver of acquisition and retention.
So the product does the selling.
Exactly. The goal of the SEO content isn't just to generate a phone call. It is to push the user into a frictionless free trial path.
No.
And from there, the objective is to generate product-qualified leads or PQLs.
Right. So what exactly makes a lead product qualified?
A PQL is a user who has already experienced meaningful value in the product. So, say they've invited three team members or created their first dashboard during a free trial.
Ah, so they're already hooked.
Exactly. And because the SaaS sales cycle is notoriously long and requires multi-touch attribution, a buyer might read an integration guide, test the free trial, and hit a PQL milestone over several weeks before they ever engage with a sales rep.
Generic SEO feels like putting up a massive billboard on a busy highway to get as many eyeballs as possible while SaaS SEO is like a highly trained museum guide, carefully walking a specific visitor through a curated exhibit until they buy a membership.
I love that analogy. It perfectly captures the difference in intent.
But let me push back on this strict bottom-of-funnel focus for a minute. Doesn't that massive top-of-funnel traffic eventually trickle down?
You would think so, but...
Like if a generic agency writes a brilliant blog post and gets 100,000 people to read it, surely a percentage of those people will remember the brand and eventually buy the software, right? Why is reporting strictly on traffic and rankings considered a catastrophic failure in this framework?
What's fascinating here is that it comes down to unit economics and intent. Yes, some top-of-funnel traffic might eventually convert, but in a highly competitive software market, educating a novice buyer takes an enormous amount of time and resources.
So it's just too expensive.
Exactly. The source explicitly warns that agencies reporting only on traffic and rankings miss the pipeline impact that actually matters. If you optimize for high-volume keywords that have zero buying intent, your analytics dashboard looks phenomenal. Traffic is up 300%.
But your trial signups and actual revenue stay completely flat.
Right. You are essentially paying to heat a massive stadium when all your actual buyers are waiting in a single VIP room. A SaaS-specific agency understands that optimizing for revenue rather than traffic prevents companies from having to tear down their strategy and rebuild it a year later.
So you're paying for foot traffic in a store where no one is opening their wallets.
Yeah.
That makes the financial risk incredibly clear.
It's a huge waste of budget.
So if bottom-of-funnel content gets the buyer to the door, what happens when the website itself actively blocks them from entering? Because this brings us to the technical landmines specific to SaaS. These websites aren't just static text. They are complex software interfaces.
And the causal link between the software product and the marketing website is where a lot of campaigns break down.
Oh, for sure.
Because SaaS sites often feature programmatic pages generated from databases, complex app subdomains, deep technical documentation, and highly interactive interfaces built on JavaScript.
Which is notoriously tricky for SEO.
It demands a level of technical SEO competence that most traditional agencies simply do not possess.
Let's make this tangible, specifically regarding JavaScript rendering, which the source highlights as a major hurdle.
Yeah, JS rendering is a massive issue.
Right. So if I understand the mechanics of search engines correctly, a standard HTML web page is essentially like walking into a room and seeing a fully assembled chair. The search bot sees it, immediately categorizes it as a chair, and moves on.
That's standard crawling, yeah.
But a JavaScript-heavy page, that's like giving the search engine crawler an IKEA flat pack box.
That is a phenomenal way to visualize it. The search bot has the instructions and the materials in that flat pack box, but it actually has to spend its own computational resources, what we call render budget, to execute the code and build the page before it can even see what the content is.
And bots don't really want to do all that extra work, do they?
No, they are very lazy. Very often, if a complex pricing slider or a feature matrix requires too much JavaScript to load, the bot simply skips it.
Wait, it just gives up.
Yeah, it moves on. Suddenly, your most important conversion pages are entirely invisible to the search engine. This is why technical elements like Core Web Vitals and crawl management are non-negotiable for software companies.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If the technical foundation wasn't enough to worry about, the guide drops us right into the critical 2026 update.
Ah, yes. The AI shift.
Exactly. Yeah. We aren't just trying to get Google bots to render our JavaScript anymore. We are talking about GEO, which is Generative Engine Optimization, and AEO, AI Engine Optimization.
It is the new frontier.
And every single marketing agency on the planet right now is slapping the word AI onto their homepage. So how does an agency actually prove they are ready for generative search, not just throwing the word AI around?
Well, generative engine optimization is fundamentally different from traditional SEO. In traditional search, you are trying to rank as a blue link on a results page.
Right, the classic 10 blue links.
But in GEO, your goal is to be cited as the authoritative source inside the conversational answer provided by platforms like ChatGPT, Perplexity, or Google's AI overviews.
You want the AI to literally speak your name.
Exactly. To do this, agencies cannot just stuff keywords onto a page. They have to structure the data semantically.
What does that mean in practice?
They have to build clear entity relationships, ensuring that the AI understands exactly what the software does, who it integrates with, and what the pricing tiers are, without hiding that information behind lead capture forms or pop-ups. AI models prioritize clear, accessible, and highly structured data.
So it's about feeding the machine the raw materials it needs to confidently recommend you. The source provides an exact vetting question to figure out if an agency actually understands this and doesn't pull any punches.
It's a great question, too.
It says you must ask them directly. How are you adapting your client's SEO strategies for AI overviews, LLM citations, and other AI-powered search experiences?
Right, and the answer they give will tell you everything you need to know.
Like if they just say they use AI to write blogs.
If they respond with vague platitudes about using AI to write blog posts faster, they are completely missing the point. They aren't ready.
So what should they say?
We want to hear them talk about schema markup, unstructured data parsing, and optimizing for the natural language queries that users are typing into ChatGPT. If they don't have a structural, mechanistic answer to that question, they are not prepared for the future of search.
Wow. Okay. So we know the high-stakes requirements now. You need strict bottom-of-funnel pipeline focus, you need serious technical prowess to handle the IKEA flat packs of JavaScript, and you need a legitimate structural approach to GEO.
It's a tall order.
It is. So let's look at the actual players executing this in 2026. Rather than just reading through a phone book of vendors, let's break down the specific agencies highlighted in the guide by their fundamental philosophies, because they tackle these problems in radically different ways.
Grouping them by methodology is definitely the best way to understand the market. Let's start with the integrated, highly technical philosophy. The first agency mentioned is Scopic Studios, who actually authored the guide we were analyzing.
Right, the creators of the source material.
Yes. They position themselves as an AI digital marketing agency blending traditional SEO, GEO, and something called Search Experience Optimization, or SXO.
SXO is such an interesting concept. It essentially argues that search engines and AI models are now tracking post-click behavior, right?
Exactly.
Like if a user clicks your link and immediately bounces because the user experience is terrible, your rankings will tank regardless of how good your keywords are.
Because the AI knows the user wasn't satisfied.
Right. So Scopic pairs marketing strategists directly with software developers under one roof to ensure the technical UX matches the content strategy. And they list their pricing transparently at $25 to $49 an hour.
Which is very accessible. And another agency in this highly integrated AI-forward group is Minutia, which focuses exclusively on B2B SaaS and combines SEO with digital PR, pricing around $100 to $149 an hour.
Then you have a completely different philosophy. The pipeline and revenue hardliners. Agencies like Grow and Convert.
Oh, yes. They are very strict about their approach.
Their core strength is what they trademark as pain point SEO. They almost entirely ignore broad industry topics and focus aggressively on mapping content directly to the specific technical frustrations of the target buyer.
Breaking B2B falls right into that hardliner category, too. Their entire ethos is generating predictable demos, completely ignoring vanity traffic.
And they have senior-led teams, right?
Yes. And what's wild is their pricing model is totally different from the hourly shops. They start at a flat $4,000 a month retainer.
Wow.
Rock the Rankings operates in the same vein, explicitly optimizing for deals over traffic.
Then finally, we have the agencies that specialize in deeply specific mechanisms of the search algorithm. For example, MadX Digital takes a digital PR-led approach.
Which is very different from on-page content.
Right. Rather than just writing content on your own site to build authority, digital PR involves securing high-profile placements, original data studies, and authoritative backlinks from major industry publications. This off-page authority is a massive signal to AI engines like Perplexity that your software is the industry standard.
And you can contrast that off-page approach with a hyper-specialized on-page agency like Lupex Digital. If you have years of technical debt and broken code, Lupex offers a 140-plus point technical SEO audit to fix your architecture, priced at $50 to $99 an hour.
It's incredibly thorough.
It is. And Outpace SEO rounds out the ecosystem, combining those technical audits with strict search intent alignment at $150 to $199 an hour.
What is particularly useful about this breakdown is seeing how diverse the solutions are. A company struggling with technical indexing needs a wildly different partner than a company that has a perfect website but zero industry authority.
Exactly. You have to match the agency to the specific bottleneck you're facing.
Now, I have to point out the meta layer of the source material here. It's fascinating that Scopic Studios wrote this very guide.
It is an interesting dynamic.
Right. They position themselves as the highly integrated, developer-heavy, accessible option at $25 to $49 an hour. Yet, they impartially list direct competitors, like Breaking B2B, who charge a $4,000 monthly baseline.
They don't shy away from it.
They don't. But if I'm a listener evaluating this, how do I weigh an hourly rate against a flat $4,000 monthly retainer? It feels like comparing apples to a very expensive orange.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is a common friction point in procurement. But the framework here reveals that you shouldn't get bogged down in the specific billing mechanism.
Really? Why not?
Well, hourly rates offer flexibility, while retainers offer predictability. What actually matters is the transparency of the contract and the alignment of incentives. The source urges companies to look for transparent pricing, flexible terms, and to run far away from opaque 12-month lock-ins without performance clauses.
Ah, so the lock-in is the real danger.
Exactly. If an agency demands a year-long commitment but refuses to tie their success to your trial signups, the billing model is irrelevant. It's just a bad deal.
Which perfectly transitions us into the vetting playbook. Knowing the methodologies is step one, but making the final hiring decision requires a rigorous framework to protect your budget.
You need a system to choose the right one.
The guide literally hands us the questions to ask.
And the foundation of that vetting process is matching the agency to your specific growth stage. An enterprise-level agency might absolutely crush it for a Fortune 500 company, but they will likely lack the agility needed for a startup.
And vice versa, right.
Right. A scrappy startup agency will likely collapse under the compliance and architectural demands of a massive enterprise platform.
To ensure that alignment, the source provides these rapid-fire ask-them prompts. We already covered the AI question, but here's another critical one. Can you show me the last 10 links you built and how you got them?
That is a crucial question because of the dangers of PBNs or private blog networks.
I want to stop there because PBNs are one of those dark arts acronyms.
Yeah.
What exactly is a PBN and why is it such a massive red flag?
Well, a private blog network is essentially a web of dummy websites created by a single entity solely to link to each other.
So they're just fake sites?
Essentially, yes. It's an attempt to artificially inflate the perceived authority of a target website and trick the search engine algorithm.
Does it actually work?
In the short term, maybe. But search engines, and particularly AI models, are incredibly adept at recognizing these unnatural patterns. When they drop the hammer on a PBN, the penalty is severe. Your site can be entirely de-indexed.
Oh, completely removed.
Yes. So the source wants you to ask about those last 10 links to ensure the agency is acquiring legitimate, relevant authority, not risking your entire digital presence on a manipulative shortcut.
That is a brilliant vetting strategy. You're essentially asking them to open the hood and show you the engine parts.
Precisely.
The guide also tackles the operational side, telling decision makers to ask, who actually does the work and how often will we hear from them? Because, you know, the charismatic VP of sales selling you the contract is very rarely the junior account manager actually optimizing your website day to day.
Which is why managing expectations around timelines and execution is the final piece of the puzzle. The framework lays out very clear expectations here.
What kind of timelines are we talking about?
You might begin seeing early technical and ranking improvements within 3 to 6 months. However, meaningful business outcomes, the actual demos, the product qualified leads, the revenue often require a sustained strategy over 6 to 12+ months.
So it's not an overnight fix.
No, it is a long-term play. And the text also briefly contrasts the immediate expertise of an agency with the long-term control of building an in-house team.
Right. The classic agency versus in-house debate.
Hiring an agency gives you immediate access to specialized expertise. Building in-house gives you total long-term ownership, but it requires a much larger upfront investment of time and payroll.
So what does this all mean? How does a leader mitigate the risk of choosing wrong? Well, the guide suggests starting with a comprehensive SEO audit or a 90-day pilot project. It's like dating before getting married in the business world.
That's exactly what it is.
You get to test their communication style and evaluate the depth of their strategic input before signing your life away on an annual partnership.
It's a highly pragmatic, low-risk entry point.
All right, as we pull back and synthesize everything we've unpacked today, the core takeaways for you, the listener, are crystal clear. SaaS SEO is an entirely different beast that demands you aggressively ignore vanity traffic metrics in favor of targeting high-intent, bottom-of-funnel buyers.
The BOFU conversions are everything.
Exactly. Success in 2026 requires intense technical mastery to handle JavaScript-heavy sites, a legitimate link-building strategy, and a proactive approach to AI Engine Optimization, or GEO.
And remember,
knowledge is most valuable when it is applied.
Absolutely.
So I want to encourage you to use the specific frameworks we discussed today. The next time you are in a vendor meeting or planning your own marketing strategy, ask them about the last 10 links they built. Ask them about their LLM citation strategies. Put them to the test.
Which leads me to a final thought I want to leave you with today. We established that the ultimate goal right now is to structure data so that AI engines like ChatGPT and Perplexity can instantly understand and recommend your software.
Right, feeding the machine.
But let's take that step further. If these AI platforms become perfectly capable of instantly analyzing, comparing, and summarizing all the software alternatives and integration options for a user, will traditional, human-readable, bottom-of-funnel comparison pages eventually become obsolete?
Oh, wow.
Are we rapidly moving toward a future where SaaS companies stop writing marketing copy for human buyers entirely and instead build content exclusively for AI machines to read?
That is a profound question. It completely shifts the paradigm from optimizing for a user to optimizing for an algorithm that will make the decision for the user.
It really makes you question the whole consensus. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take these frameworks, test your agencies, and keep asking the hard questions. We will catch you on the next one.